One thing that always comes to mind when you think of KIOA, and actually it even got to the point where I think the people were singing the KIOA jingles on the street, is that KIOA 940 logo.
KIOA didn't really have an established logo. They had tried several before I got there. And about 19, I'm not sure the exact date, but we decided with all this news and public affairs that we had to do, we selected a series from Pam's recording, number 17, which was called The New Frontier after John Kennedy. Tracks were from 61. We didn't put it on the air until about 64, I'm guessing. And it became our logo. And I learned one thing from one of my mentors, it was Chuck Bloor, that once you get the logo, you just never change it. So once we put it on the air, it never changed until I left the station in 77, and then they changed it, which was probably a mistake. But it almost became like the NBC chimes. We used variations of it from then on, and we would add a new jingle package or change some cuts or do something like that over a period of time, where it was actually never, ever off the air until 77.
An interesting thing about those jingles is that they would cut the same jingles for various radio stations, and they'd sing the logo differently for the different stations.
Right.
And yet it would still be the same jingle, same bed and everything.
Yeah, they had a way of tracking it. It seems kind of, kind of primitive by today's standards by what we can do. But in those days, they basically would get the concept for one station. And if you match those notes, if you tried to jam a W in that KIOA, it wouldn't work very well. The original logo was done for KLIF in Dallas. And we were probably about the fourth station to pick it up, I think. Yeah.
Well, you would have had a public service commitment the way the licensing went back in those days. And I don't imagine just running long public affairs programs lent itself well to your format. So how did you handle a public service?
Actually, we did our public affairs through editorials. The general manager recorded an editorial, and if we had rebuttal, we would record a citizen who could come down, and we would run so many of those a day, and that helped us with public affairs. In the case of public service, I think there was a quantity in those days. Like, you agreed with the government that you'd run like 150 public service announcements a week or something. And we hit on the idea of having the people who were involved in the organization coming down and recording them. I remember we used to record a lot of kids with public safety stuff, and we used to record Iowa Highway Patrolmen. And then we would always get a lady who was the chairman of the Junior League, you know, to come down and record her own announcement. And we would run about two or three of those a week and handle them in a saturation campaign, much like an advertiser would.
And did you tie that in like with a jingle bed with the KIOA?
No, really, we tied it in with Be a KIOA Good Guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Be a KIOA Good Guy and don't run over me on the way home from school, that kind of thing.
Okay. Let's see. You were involved about the time the new studios opened up there at 8th and Keogh, and then you made another move, didn't you?
The station moved, I believe it was in 1972, and we moved to 2nd and Keogh. So we, like, never got off Keogh, you know. We were at 5th and Keogh, then 8th and Keogh, then back to 2nd and Keogh. In 1972, I think it was, 72, 73. Okay, then it was 71. That's a two-year gap. I was sitting out in the parking lot. Okay. I didn't like the studios because they weren't in, you really lost, once you've done a Windows studio, you know, and you move to a building with no windows, it's totally different. We liked the privacy, you know, because you were always on display, but it felt like you moved away from the public a little bit.
So you lost something there, probably.
Yeah, I think you did. A little bit of showbiz there.
Well, of course, KIOA didn't have any competition or anything. KSO had kind of left the format for a while, and there wasn't anybody else, right? Or wrong?
I'm trying to think. I can't remember anybody actually being a top 40 radio station at that time.
Until a little later, and then...
Yeah, then they swung back.
And this is where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
I mean, I was being a little facetious in a way, but...
It's okay.
Some other things did come along.
Just clean it up. When you're...
Some other stations did come along. KSO got back into it.
Yeah, I can't even remember when they got back into it. But they got the AM back into it after Tom Stoner bought the radio station, I think, in 1968 or something. And then they decided that they were going to go away from MOR, middle of the road programming, and come back into the top 40 arena. And they were in it for a while. I think Perry St. John came down from WDGY in Minneapolis to run that operation. And they were in it for a while, and we did some battle in the 70s. And then the rebirth of FM was starting again. A lot of the FM stations were on the air and went off in bankruptcy, then came back on the air, and they were... That was about the time, 72, 73, you were starting to see the awakening of FM. So they bought KGGO, or KDMI, and changed it to KGGO, and they went top 40 with that.
KFMG.
I'm sorry. They bought KFMG and turned it to KGGO, Go 95. And at the time they did that, they switched KSO to country. And what a lot of people don't know is we really wrestled with that when we bought our FM, which we turned into KIOA FM, and made it oldies. There was talk for a long time of putting the top 40 onto the FM and turning KIOA into a country radio station. But the theory being 10,000 watts covers a lot of Iowa. But it didn't happen.
Well, some other guys came along, too, for a short time. I remember there was a very good-sounding FM station, KYNA.
Yeah, those guys were good. They were really good.
I think they were on 93.3, if I'm not mistaken.
They were. They were. I made a deal with the guys. I called them up. I said, you sound really good. I said, but you're going to run out of money eventually. And when you run out of money, why don't you call us? We'd like to buy the station. And they did a pretty good run. Who was it? Big Ron O'Brien was on that radio station. They sounded good.
Steve Matthews under a different name.
Right. Yeah. And they put out a survey and everything, and they were doing real well. But then they ran out of money. And I'm trying to think of who was the guy who put the station on the air. And I can't remember. Dwight someone. He called
Herbert. Dwight Herbert.
That's it, Dwight Herbert. And he called me and he says, oh, Peter, we've run out of money. And we'd like to sell the radio station. And we bought it. And then we put it into oldies.
Okay, if people want to do a little surfing around on the site, we do have a little bit of KYNA on there. So
yeah, it was a good station. It was a good station.